Auspicious day today. So on the disappearance days of the Vaishnavas, Prabhupada always used to sing this very special song. It is also the appearance of day of my dear god brother Yasomati Nandan Prabhu, who served in Gujarat for many, many, many years. Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Karuna Prachu. Jayanilo prema dana karuna prachur. Eno prabhu kota gela acharya dhaku. Kahamura swaru prupa kahasanata. Kahadasa rago nata patita pava. Sarago nata patita pava. Kahamura bata juga kahakavira. Kale kota kela goranatara. Pashani kutivo mata anale pashivo. Koranga gunera niri kota gile babo. Se sabha sangira sangi je kaila bila. Se sangana paya kande narotamada. Sangana paya kande narotamada. Jayanila Prema Dana Karuna Braju Prema Dana Karuna Braju Eno Prabhu Goda Gela Acharya Dago Eno Prabhu Goda Gela Prabhu Sanatana Eno Prabhu Goda Gela Bhakti Charu Mahara Jaya Vaishnava Thakur 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 Srila Goswami Pada Ki Srila Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Param Pujya Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj Ki Jai Gau Premanande Jai Nitya Lila Vishnu Mishra Pada Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Guri Vaishnavinda Ki Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopi Go Shamakun Radha Kun Giri Govardhana Ki Prajabhumi Vrindavandham Ki Sri Sri Krishna Baldao Dono Bhaya Ki Tai Gau Premanandi All glories to the Assembly of Hari All glories to the Assembly of Hari All glories to the Assembly of Hari All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga. Glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhirati Svabhadam Diyam Aradhanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srima Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo So as we said, this is a very auspicious day. This is the holy disappearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami Pada. So somehow the Vaishnavas have asked me to speak on this day, so I seek all your blessings that I may speak something in glorification of Srila Sanatana Goswami. So there's a beautiful pranam mantra for Srila Sanatana Goswami, given by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. In his final work, Vilapa Kusmanjali. And I've heard that despite having serious operation, etc. Shivaram Swami Maharaj is writing a book on Bilapa Kusmanjali. So we'll get lots and lots of nectar very soon. This is a very special book. But there in verse 6, he offers his obeisances to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Vairagya Yuga Bhakti Rasam Prayatnaya Payam Amana Bipsamandam Kripambudirya Paraduka Duki Sanatanam Tam Prabhum Ashrayami. Vairagya Yuga Bhakti Rasam. Bhakti Ras, that little touch of Vairagya. Generally people are after Vairagya, but automatically, if we get bhakti, automatically Vairagya happens. It is natural. If we're beggar in the street, just finding things in the garbage, and somebody comes and offers one of these nice mangoes that are offered to the lords today, we don't have to talk so much philosophy or try to convince him that he should give up his garbage and take this nice fresh mango. It is automatic. But there's a special ras when it's mixed with Vairagya. Vairagya bhakti rasam. Our Param Gurudev Srila Bhakti Saran Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada, he has translated ras as very tasty thing. Just like in the sadhu samaj, they have their own language. When they talk about Mahaprasad, they're talking about rice. When they say paramana, the supreme rice, they're talking about sweet rice. And when they talk about salt, then they say, they don't say pass the salt please, they say ras. Because without salt, then we see the things have no taste. They become very tasty with a little bit of salt. So this is a very tasty thing. Vairagya Yuga Bhakti Rasam. Just hearing it, you can feel how sweet and tasty this is. Apayam amam anabipsamandam. But I didn't want to taste this very sweet thing. Abipsamandam, I was in the darkness of ignorance. Prayatnaya, but by force. We know in Hindi, prayatan means to attempt to do something. Prayat, by force. The Sanatana Goswami made me drink this bhakti rasam, Vairagya Yuga bhakti rasam. Payam amam and abipsamandam. Kripambudir. Ambudi is another name for the ocean. He's a great ocean of kripa. Because of his great mercy, he forced me to taste this very sweet bhakti rasam. Pripambariya paraduka duki. His only unhappiness is seeing others are unhappy. This is Vaishnava. Vaishnava, he has no problem. He has got Krishna's name. He's got the mercy of Guru. He's got everything. He has no problem. His only problem is he is others have no Krishna consciousness. Therefore we see the devotees are running all over the world. Here we don't have to run anywhere. People are running here. Every day we're astonished hearing how many books have been distributed. This is Vaishnava, Paraduka Duki. Sanatanam Tam Prabhu. That Sanatana Goswami is my Prabhu, Ashrayami, and I take shelter of his divine lotus feet. Very sweet pranam mantra. Vairagya Yuga Bhakti Rasam Prayatnaya Apaya Mam Anabipsamannam Kripambudirya Paraduka Duki Sanatanam Tam Prabhu Ashrayami. So, in South India, in what is now the state of Karnataka, there was a very, very learned Brahmin. named Sarvagya. And somehow, he was a Brahmin, but somehow he became the king of that land. And due to his vast learning, he became known as Sarvagya Jagadguru. And he had a very illustrious son named Aniruddha. And Aniruddha had two sons, Rupeshwar and Harihar. And as is the nature of kings, just like if you read the whole Mahabharata, it's just filled with it. Somehow, Harihar, the younger son, he usurped the kingdom from Rupeshwar. So Rupeshwar went north. And eventually his descendants, they settled in Naihati. A very beautiful little village is there on the bank of Ganga, Naihati. And gradually, one of their descendants settled in just near Jessore, in what is now Bangladesh. Nobody knows exactly the spot, but in that, it's right near the Bangladesh border, very near the Indian border, actually. It's in Bangladesh, but it's near the Indian border. And somebody has donated some land there in memory of Rupa and Sanatan. So it is not called the birthplace, they call it Rupa Sanatan Smriti Tirth. And it is an amazing place. You're going through everywhere you look, as far as you can see, rice fields, and everywhere wherever there's high land, there's banana trees. And everybody, somehow, because it's the devotees did so much preaching and it's very close to the Indian border. Everybody says Haribol when they see devotees coming on the road in their rickshaw or their car. Haribol, Haribol. Very special place in Bangladesh. Haribol, everyone says Haribol. And suddenly, in the distance, you see this enormous dome standing out above the banana trees and rice fields. In that very beautiful place, they've made an enormous temple in the memory of Rupa and Sanatan. Rupa Sanatan Smriti Tirth. So eventually there was one Kumardev. And he had many children. But among them, three were very special. Because now we know this, and Rupa Sanatan and Anupam. But at that time, Sanatan's name was Amar. And Rupa's name was Santosh. And then it was Sri Balav, who later became Anupam. So eventually, and they were very, very learned Brahmins. Many people came to consult with them. And eventually they moved to Ramakeli, very beautiful place on the Indian side of the border, in the land of Gaud. There the Muslims had made their capital for Bengal in Gaud, Gaudadesh. And very beautiful. I have been there. We went on the safari. They call it safari, but I call it safari with Jayapataka Maharaj. We went there. So beautiful and green, and there's great big huge walls that I assume he made to keep the Ganga from flooding the land. Of course, now they're all completely overgrown and everything, but those walls are still there. Very beautiful, lovely place. And as kings are always worried that somebody may attack. And as you know, you've been to Bengal, a very flat place. So how will you see in the difference? You need a tower, watchtower. So Nawab Hussain Shah, he told his minister that you please make a nice tower so we can have a lookout if any army is coming. So somehow his minister, he knew that this Sanata Goswami, he's a very clever fellow. So he asked him, you please build this tower. We saw that tower, it's still standing. Sanatana Goswami made it 500 years ago. Still it's standing. Unfortunately, you can't go in. Now the government has locked it because all the young people used it for nonsense affairs and things. But anyways, now it's locked. But we saw that place from outside. The tower is still there. So when Abu Sayyid Shah came, he saw this tower. He said, "Who made this?" He said, "I made it." He says, "No, you don't have enough brains to make such a nice thing. Who made it?" Kings are very clever, you know. He says, "You don't have enough brains to make such a nice place." So he said, "Sanatana Goswami." And then he heard that this Rupa and Sanatana, they are very, very learned fellows. So he told Rupa and Sanatana, "You have to join my government." Now in those days, Indian society was very, very, or especially Hindu society was very, very conservative. If you were to serve under, especially a Brahmin, to serve under a Muslim means you became a Muslim. You were rejected from the respectable Brahmin society. So they didn't want to take service of the Muslim king. But he made them an offer you can't refuse. Either you join my service, or we perform an operation above the shoulders. His offer they couldn't refuse. So they thought somehow, although they were ready to die, they thought somehow in the future we may be able to do something for the benefit of the Vaishnavas, so they decided it's better that we live somehow or another. So he made Sanatana his very chief minister and gave him the name Sakar Malik. Those who know Hindi know Malik means owner, boss. So those who are very powerful person, they are called Malik. And Rupa, he made him the treasurer, so he became Dabir Khas. And they felt themselves very fallen. They felt that they had been rejected from Brahminical society. Still people came to visit and consult with them, even from South India, from Karnataka. Many Brahmins came and moved there to be associated with them. And Ramakeli, it is such a beautiful place. And they saw that in this beautiful place, even at that time, they made their family deity, Madan Mohan. This is very significant for Sanatana Goswami. And there were some ponds there, so they called one Radhakund, one Chamakund. They were always absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. They always thought of Vrindavan. And so many beautiful kadamba trees and tamal trees were there. Everything to remind them of Vrindavan. One night, Amar, who later became Sanatana, he had a dream. In that dream, very effulgent Brahman came and gifted him a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. This was very amazing because nowadays we have printing press. We just print books like anything. But those days everything was written by hand. To get a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, this was very rare. Now Prabhupada's followers are running all over the world distributing Bhagavatams. And in fact, now it started the today's the end of the last month, and tomorrow begins the month of Sridhar, first month of rainy season. And after Sridhar comes the month of, I can't remember the Vaishnav name, but it is called Bhadra. And it's said that if one gifts Srimad Bhagavatam on the Bhadra Purnima, which will come 2 months from now, it is very, very auspicious. So I just got email that they're starting this campaign to distribute Srimad Bhagavatams on Bhadra Purnima. So in his when he saw this Bhagavatam, his hair stood on end, but then his dream broke. And seeing no Bhagavatam, no Brahman, he began to cry. And somehow he fell asleep. Then in the morning he woke up, took his bath, did his morning puja. Suddenly there was a knock at the door. He opened the door and there was a very effulgent Brahman there. And that Brahman gave him a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Said, "This is the most supreme nectar. You read this, you will attain all perfection. And then that Brahman just disappeared. So Sanatana Goswami was ecstasy. Now he had Srimad Bhagavatam. And he began to study. Somehow or other, they had heard of the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Nimai. And they sent many letters to Nimai. He never, one time he answered. He gave them a letter in which he said that just like a woman who has a lover, she does her work, housework, very nicely. She has no one to suspect. But in her heart, she's always thinking, when my lover and I will meet in the night. So this is indications. You do all your duties to this Muslim king, but within your heart, you always remember Krishna. Then they got the news that Mahaprabhu had, that Nimai, he took sannyas, became Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and he went to Puri. Then they thought, now how will we ever, we had some hope of seeing him in Navadvipa, but now he's so far away. And a divine voice appears, says, become patient. In due course of time, you will get the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And so it came to pass that Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan. At least that's externally he decided to go to Vrindavan. But we know that Vrindavan, that's from Puri, you have to go west. He went north. He met his mother, long agreed mother, Mother Sachi. He stayed with Advaita Prabhu. After staying with Advaita Prabhu for some time, he wandered through the villages. And he was lost in ecstasy. Everyone who saw him became enchanted and began to chant the holy name. Even that person, he went back to his village and others seeing him chanting the holy name, they also began to chant the holy name. In this way, he collected thousands and thousands of followers. He's going along the road. And he entered Ramakeli with thousands of people following him. The Muslim king, the Nawab Hussain Shah, he became very suspicious. He got these reports from his spies that some Hindu sadhu, he's wandering with thousands of people. And Nawab began to consider that I have so many followers, but if I don't give them their pay, they will leave me in 1 second. And this fellow, he's not giving them anything, and thousands of people are following him. He must be some great prophet. Somehow his heart was moved, and he gave the instruction to leave this Hindu prophet alone. Don't bother him. Let him do what he wants. And he asked his minister, and it's always just some Hindu beggar. He has 3 or 4 followers. What are you speaking? I have heard thousands of people are following. Rupa, what do you say? And Rupa said, you're the king. What does your heart tell you? So in this way, they came to, Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli. So Rupa and Sanatan, they took the opportunity, because every evening Mahaprabhu was having these ecstatic kirtans, falling in ecstasy, the people were drowning in the ocean of ecstasy. And they met Haridas and Nityananda, who immediately went to Mahaprabhu and told them that this Chakar Malik and Dabir Khas have come to see you. But they stayed away. Mahaprabhu was sitting under a tamal tree. On our safari, we got to see that very tamal tree. It is still there. Mahaprabhu was sitting in this tamal tree. So why are they staying away? Bring them here. There was straw between their teeth. They came and fell at Mahaprabhu's feet. And they presented them as very fallen, more fallen than Jagai and Madai. At least he wasn't serving meat eaters. We are serving meat eaters. So we are against Brahmins and cows by their association. We become implicated. We are so fallen. But you are all powerful. Only you can save us. Namo Mahabharanaya, you are the most merciful. You have the power. If you want to save us, you can save us. And Mahaprabhu blessed them, putting his hands on their heads. And then they put their, they took Mahaprabhu's feet and put them on their heads. And they took the dust of all the Vaishnavas present. And Mahaprabhu told them, very soon, Krishna will extract you from your position. And Mahaprabhu told them, it's a very important thing, because it says that Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan. But Mahaprabhu says, I only came here for you. By his own mouth, you can read in Srimad Bhagavatam, I have come here for you. He wasn't going to Vrindavan, he was going to get Rupa and Sanatana to join his Sankirtan movement. But they told him, look, it's not proper. Sanatana Goswami told him. Because they, after they got mercy, then they became Rupa and Sanatana. He said, this is not the proper way to go Vrindavan with thousands of people. Prabhupada hasn't come and made the nice Krishna Balaram guest house or MBT. There's no, what do you call it, a Fogal Ashram. There's no place for anybody to stay. It's just a simple place. Why do you, how are you going like this? This is a very simple a forest. You should not go like this. But then Mahaprabhu continued his journey. He came to a very wonderful place called Kanai Nachala. We also went there on our safari. And ISKCON is a very beautiful place there. And government has given so many, built a guest house for the devotees there. Very wonderful. And then he began to consider what Sanatana Goswami had said. He says, right, I should go to Vrindavan with only one person. It is a very peaceful, simple place. It's not meant for all this hula-hala like it's nowadays. So he returned to Puri from like Kanai Nachala. Meanwhile, Sanatana Goswami was thinking how to get free. One night, it was pouring down rain. Just like the other night. Just buckets and buckets of rain. What do we say? Hindi, musaldara, like clubs and or we say cats and dogs. What do they say in Russian? We don't have any Ruskis here today. Anyway, it was pouring down, and the messenger came that to Sanatan that the Nawab wants to see you. So he dressed himself as best he could to protect himself from the rain. I don't know if they had nice plastic raincoats in those days. I don't think that horrible thing plastic had been invented then. And he was sloshing through the fields. And one man became very frightened. He and his wife were sleeping in their house. They heard these footsteps. And the man said, maybe a thief is coming. And wife said, nobody, even a thief, won't come out in this weather. Only kisi, some king's gulam. Gulam means, you know, very less, even das is less than that, gulam. Somebody who's servant of some king, only he could come out in a weather like this. So Sanatana Goswami heard this lady say this. He thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? From there he got the point. And the king informed him that he was planning to attack Puri. He said, I'm so fallen, I'm serving this person who wants to give the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Jagannath trouble. So that very night he decided somehow I have to get free. Somehow Rupa was able to run away, but he left some money with one businessman. Because the old days there wasn't banks. But in ISKCON we know the mercantile class of people, they're called Vaishya. But in India we call them Baniya. So someone like Baniya, bank, almost same. So you always left your money with the Baniya. And he gave you some interest and dealt with it. So he left some 10,000 gold coins with one Banyan. And he said, and he sent note to Sanatan, in case you need to bribe him, you take advantage of this money. So then Sanatan Goswami, he said, how can I serve such a master who wants to give trouble to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath? So he kept sending note that he's sick. The king sent his own physician. The physician returned. He's completely well. He's sitting with 12 Brahmas listening to this Hindu scriptures, some Srimad Bhagavatam or something like that. So the Nawab, he came there. He rushed into Rupa's house, even with his shoes on. He stomped into the assembly of Brahmins. What is this? You're saying you're sick, but I sent my own physician. He said you're sitting here with some Brahmins reading some Hindu scripture. He says, no, I cannot do my duties anymore. You please give me release. I can't give you release. Either you do your duty, because I have to leave this country and go to Sri Kshetra. So you have to take watch over everything while I'm gone. He said, no, I can't go. You either take over the country in my absence, or you go to jail. He said, all right, then you send me to jail. He didn't send me to ordinary jail. We saw that building. There was a big treasury building there that's still existent. We did the whole drama of this pastime right on the lawn of that big building. Because he was a prime minister, so he didn't make it his ordinary jail. But the big, big building is there, still there. And now I think it's a library or something. So he imprisoned Sanata Goswami and left for Puri. Meanwhile, Sanata Goswami, he wasn't the chief minister for no reason. He was very clever and intelligent. So he began to praise the jailer that, oh, you're very learned, you know all the revealed scriptures, you know the conclusion of everything, you are very learned, and you are very pious. Jailer is pious? Learned? But he had to flatter like this, because he's very clever. Because as soon as you, Prabhupada said, this is the secret of preaching. First you tell some person, my dear sir, you're so intelligent, you're so wealthy, you have beautiful house, you have beautiful car, your wife is very beautiful and faithful, your children are very obedient. Oh, somebody finally recognized me, you know. Because, you know, the poor guy, he goes to work, you know, oh, you son of a... Somebody finally recognized. Oh, yeah, right, somebody recognized me. What do you want? He said, you forget all of this and just hear about Krishna. This is a secret for preaching. He said, you know that to give mukti to the living entities is a very, very pious deed. So please free me from this jail. And I will give you 5,000 gold coins. And Jiro said, because in India nobody ever speaks what they really mean. They say it in an indirect way. He didn't want to say that's not enough, that's embarrassing. He just said, well, what is the use of your 5,000 gold coins? When this Nawab comes back, he'll cut off my head. He said, look, you just tell him I went to Pastul on the bank of the Ganga with my chains and I fell in the water and was washed away, and I'll give you 7,000 gold coins. Meet me at 5 o'clock. So he set Sanata Goswami free. And he ran through the forest. Somewhere along the way he met his brother-in-law Srikant, who was selling very valuable blankets. He gave him a very beautiful blanket. And he continued on. He was headed toward Vrindavan because he had heard that now Mahaprabhu had really gone to Vrindavan. But actually Mahaprabhu was on his way back. He met Rupa at Prayag, and then he met Sanatan at Kashi. And he was staying at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And Sanatan found, when he got to Kashi, he found that Mahaprabhu is there. So he sat outside the house. And Mahaprabhu told Chandrasekhar, go outside, the great Vaishnava is coming. And he went outside, he looked around, he just saw this guy, you know, because, you know, Muslims have beard like this, you know, because whatever the Hindu does, they'll do opposite. If Hindu will grow sika, then they'll grow a beard. If Hindu's shoes go like that, then the Muslim shoes will go like that. So he just saw this bearded, looked like some sort of Muslim mendicant. He came back and said, no, there's no Vaishnava is there. Some, he said, no, go and see. He went again. He said, no, just this fakir is there. And he said, no, then you bring him. He said, my dear sir, you please come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to see you. But he had gone through the Jarakhand forest on his way and he got some skin infection, eczema, and pus and blood were oozing from his wounds. When he brought him in the house, Mahaprabhu embraced him. He said, no, Prabhu, please don't touch me, I'm contaminated. He said, no, I'm touching the body of the great Vaishnavas, because by touching their body, one becomes pure. And then he told Chandrasekhar, get him shaved up. Mahaprabhu didn't like this beard and all this long hairs. Neither did Prabhupada. Well, then now we see this is the fashion, especially for the kirtaniyas. You have to have a big beard. But Mahaprabhu said, shave him up. So then he shaved him up. He came back, all shaved up. And Mahaprabhu said, yes, very nice. But Mahaprabhu's eyes were looking at this blanket. Because now he's going, you know. And he saw Mahaprabhu's eyes looking at this blanket. He thought, what am I doing? Because he just took he got some old cloth from Tapan Misra and he made, you know, some kopins and he made a bahar, external cloth, like just a, you know, Babaji cloth like that. But he had this blanket. So he went to the bank of the Ganga and it was some poor old man had torn quilt. He was washing his quilt. He said, look, you take this, give me your quilt and take this one. He said, my dear sir, you appear to be a respectable person. Why are you making fun of me like this? He said, I'm not making fun. Give it to me. He ripped that torn quilt from his hand and gave him his valuable quilt. And he dried it out on the sand of the Ganga. And then he came back and Mahaprabhu said, yes. If you're going to present yourself as a beggar and you're going in a cloth like this, now what will people think? Just like Ambarish Prabhu told me, that I see, I'm always flying, he's, you know, a billionaire. He said, I'm flying economy class. But I see all the people that I've given donations to, they're flying business class and first class. So he met with Sanatana Goswami on the Dasvashrami, got there is it Dasamega? What guy was it? Yeah, also both places have Dasamega. All right. And he instructed him, I believe, for 20 days, gave him all the essence. Just you read those chapters. There's several chapters in Madhya Lila, Sanatana Siksha, Mahaprabhu's instruction in Siksha to Sanatana Goswami. And he covered everything. He went all the way from the countless living entities to finally the species of human beings. Then there's those who were civilized and those civilized, those who were actually following Vedic scriptures. They went on and on and on. He went all the way up to Krishna Prem. These are very, very important chapters. And then he asked him to write a Vaishnav Smriti. Sanatana Goswami folded his hands and Mahaprabhu, you can somewhere there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives the whole outline of Bhakti, Hari Bhakti Vilas. He says, talk about this, talk about, he says, talk about all the things, Akadasi, all these things, you know, how to honor Jamashtami, everything, yeah, he gave to Sanatana Goswami. And he told him to go on to Vrindavan. He was returning on his way to Puri. So Sanatana Goswami, finally he came to Vrindavan and he was... And one other thing, Mahaprabhu... Oh, well, this is another time. I'll get there. So he stayed in Vrindavan for some time. Then Mahaprabhu called him to Puri. Those days there wasn't a WhatsApp or messenger, but somehow, and it wasn't even mail. But there was mail, but it, you know, just somebody, well, you're going that way, here, take this up to there. And then you find somebody going on, and somebody, somehow by luck, you got your letter. Somehow he got information, and Mahaprabhu called him to Puri. He stayed in Puri for some time. Then he got idea, because he was still suffering from eczema that was passed, but every time Mahaprabhu saw him, he would embrace Sanatana Goswami. And this blood and pus would come on Lord's body. And Sanatana Goswami was mortified. He said, because now it's time of Rath Yatra, I will throw myself under the wheel and give up this nasty body. Nowadays, you see, they have big, so many police and army and BSF and who else? I don't know who else is there, but everybody's there, all different colors, uniforms, you know. And you have big rope. You have to get a cordon passed to come inside the rope. So nobody would do such a thing. And he came to see, and he didn't tell anybody his plan. And one time he went to see Mahaprabhu, he said, Sanatan, this body belongs to me. You have no right to take it. I have much work to do through this body. Especially if you've taken Diksha, now your body belongs to Guru. So already committing suicide is a big sin, but now you're doing Guru Aparadha, destroying Guru's property. Don't do this. Chant Hare Krishna, take association of Vaishnavas. It's never bad, as bad as it looks. You're always seeing everything black and black. But if you associate with the devotees and chant, you will see it bright and bright again. So don't do this thing. He told him, you go back to Vrindavan, I will come again, and you find a nice place for me to stay, peaceful place, and you find out all the lost places of Krishna's pastimes, and you find this deity of Madan Mohan, who was established by Bhajan up there in Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami, he returned. He found this beautiful place where the Madan Mohan temple is now staying on top of this hill. Hill we call Tila. So that is called Dvadasa Ditya Tila. And he saw this, and there you see the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Sanatana Goswami, a little tiny place there. So he was staying there and doing his bhajan and also finding out places of Krishna's pastimes. And he thought, this is a nice course. Mahaprabhu never came, but he told him. So he fixed up this place for Mahaprabhu to come a second time. He never came. And sometimes he would go to Mathura, because Advaitacharya, on his tour of Braj, he found that Madan Mohan Didi at a very beautiful place just near old Madan Mohan temple, just near there, is Advaitavat. But we know means banyan tree. Underneath the banyan tree, he found this deity of Madan Mohan. But as we heard, Vrindavan was just jungle. There was no, so he took him to Mathura and gave him to one Purushottam Chobe. Because many of the Brahmins of Mathura, they're Chaturvedis. But in Brijbhasa we say Chobe. So Purushottam Chobe. So sometimes Sanatana Goswami, he would go there for his Madhukari, and he saw this beautiful black cowboy running through the streets, and he ran in one doorway. You go to Mathura, all the doorways look like they're all temples. There's somebody's house is there. Even the old part of Vrindavan looks like, every house looks like a temple. So Sanatana Goswami followed him behind, and he came in. That happened to be the house of Purushottam Chobe. And he saw that Chobe's sons, they were playing with Madan Mohan Didi, just like he's their, one of their brothers, not giving any respect. And he saw Chobe's wife, it was cold in the morning, so she, without taking her bath, because cold time, we don't like to take baths, but we have to do it anyway. But anyway, without taking her bath, she just put some cloth, just like we can remember our own mother. In the winter time, sometimes she just puts some bathrobe and she's cooking some oatmeal or porridge for us to go off to school. So like that, she was cooking. Are, You haven't taken bath. You're cooking for the Supreme Lord. You don't know. He began to chastise that Chobe like anything. You don't know all the rules and regulations. And Chobe just said, Tige Maharaj, whatever you say, we'll follow now. So he went home. In the night, Lord came in a dream and said, I was enjoying so nicely with my Chobeji family. Now you put all this rule and regulations, no fun. So in the morning he came back. He tried to fall on Chobeji's feet, but Chobeji fell on his feet first. He said, Maharaj, he said, Baba, whatever I told you yesterday, you forget it. Lord was happy with your service. He said, no, Lord said, you have three sons to take care of you in your old age. This Nanda Goswami is nobody. You please let me go with this Nanda Goswami. So he gave that deity of Madan Mohan and took him there to Vadasa Dittatila and leaned him against a tree. There was no temple. He was just a poor beggar. And he would just find some villager staying in the forest somewhere and get some atta, some flour. He mix it with some Jamuna water. He gets some cow dung and make a fire. He put these little chapals, we call bati. He put them in the fire with a stick. He would turn them around and then break off all the black spots. And he was offering to Madan Mohan. And Prabhupada said, and Madan Mohan, he began to cry. Are, every day you're offering this old dry chapati ball, you don't even put any salt. He said, but because Sanatana Goswami is offering with love, he had to accept. And Sanatana Goswami, we can't imitate the dealings of pure devotees and the Lord. He began to chastise. Look, I'm old man. Whatever I get, I offer to you. You just please accept. Now you're asking for salt. Tomorrow you'll say, oh, Baba, I get stuck in my throat. Can you put a little ghee? And then you want sweet rice and ras gula. Where am I going to get all these things? If you want these things, you make arrangements. I can't do it. So it so happened that one fellow named Kapoor, if you meet anybody from named Kapoor, you know he's from Punjab. So he's coming from north down to Jamuna to go to a big mela in Agra. And somehow his boat got stuck on the sand right below Dwadasa Dittatila. And this little cowboy said, hey, there's sadhu there, because in India everybody thinks sadhu means yadu. Sadhu means magic. They'll solve my problem. Actually, they'll solve your problem, but not that way. They'll give you Krishna, the Maha Mantra. So he ran there. Oh, Gosai, Gosai, my boat is stuck. This coward boy told me you could help me. Who told you you could help me? This coward boy here. I said, I'm just a jeev. He's Param Brahm. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You ask him, what can I do? I'm a helpless jeev. And he looked at Madan Mohan, and his boat floated off of the sand. Then he fell at Goswami's feet. Said, oh, Gosai, what do you want? You want gold? You want silver? You want diamonds? He said, no, I don't want any of these things. No, you please say something. What is in your boat? He said, salt. All right, you give it a little block. This guy's always crying for something. Then he came to Agra, he arrived at the high point of the mela, he sold all his salt for the highest possible price, he came back and he built that beautiful Madan Mohan temple. And he arranged nice kitchen and employed some Brahmins and made nice bhog offering for Madan Mohan. But to this day, they still offer that old dry bhati. If you sometimes go to the Sanatana Goswami Samadhi and you're nice to the pujari, he will give you. Because after they offer the bhog, they offer the Mahaprasad to Sanatana Goswami. So you get the Mahamaha, Bhati Prasad. So we know Sanatana Goswami, he moved around so many places. We're running out of time, so this is a disappearance day. Sometime he was staying in Govardhan. Just near Manasi Ganga, at a place called Chakleshwar. Actually, it should be Chakreshwar, but Bishwasis, they mixed their R's and L's around, so it became Chakaleshwar. Because that's where, when Krishna was holding the hill, the chakra was spinning on top, making all the water go away. And it came to rest at that place, that's called Chakratirtha. So they made a nice Shiva temple there, Chakreshwar Mahadev. Not just one, not two, but five Shilas. Lings. So he made his place there on the bank of Manasi Ganga in front of Chakleshwar temple. We just heard Manasi Ganga's there, water's there. We see how hot it is. Now, if heat and water is there, who comes?
Mosquitoes.
So Sanatana Goswami is trying to do his budget. He decided, all right, I have to leave this place. I can't do my bhajan here. I'll leave this place. So, packed up all his things and got ready to go. Not like you guys, with two Samsonite suitcases. Lota or kambo, sadhu kasambo. Lota and blanket, that's all sadhu has. And some old Brahmin came and said, Baba, where are you going? He said, I can't stay here, too many mosquitoes. Oh, that's the problem. Then he revealed himself that he was none other than Chakleshwar Mahadev. He took the form of this Brahmin to find out, because he was enjoying association of Vaishnava. He didn't want to lose it. He said, that's the problem? So you stay here. I will go see the mosquito Dev, Machar Dev, the demigod in charge of mosquitoes, and no mosquitoes. And if you go there, even today, no mosquitoes come to that. I don't know if now, but in the old days, there was a funny little dharmshala there that you could stay for free. Beautiful Gornitai temple is just in front. Anyway, no mosquitoes there. So there's so many wonderful stories of Sanatana Goswami. One time he went to see Rupa Goswami in Radhakund. Rupa Goswami spent some time in Radhakund. And he was writing a very special book called Chatu Puspanjali. And there he described Radharani's lips are like bimba fruit, her eyes like Kanjana birds, and so many beautiful, a moon just like, a face just like the beauty of the moon. And he described with a beautiful choti braid like a black cobra. I said, how can you write such a thing about our Swamini? How can you write like this? So, well, you can think of something better, you tell me. So then Sanatana Goswami went walking around Radhakund and he was thinking in his head over and over again. Suddenly he saw some young girls, they had made a swing in the trees and they were swinging. And he saw what he thought was a cobra attacking this girl. And he ran there. Look out, there's a snake. Because you see from the back, you know, the hair all comes together like this and it goes down and looks like cobra with his head, you know, his hoods expanded, you know. And all the girls just began laughing. And suddenly they disappeared. Then Sanatana Goswami realized that was Srimati Radharani herself. And he ran back and said, whatever you wrote, that's okay. And we know he has nice bhajan kutir. Last time I was there, they're rebuilding. Everything was gone. They're rebuilding Sanatana Goswami's bhajan kutir in Pavan Sarovar. He stayed there, the villagers made a little hut for him. One little boy used to come and have him tell stories about Krishna and would bring him milk. This milk was so nice. He never realized. Every day he would tell stories to this boy about Krishna. And boy would just listen so sweetly. But that little boy was Krishna. And the villagers eventually built a kutir for him to save him from the sun and the rain and everything. And Sanatana Goswami was very dear to all the villagers. He would wander from village to village. And when he come into the village, the little children would run outside and say, oh, Baba Gosai has come, Baba Gosai has come. And then those who were his equal, they would come, oh, my dear brother, why you stayed away for so long? And when he come into the village, the elders would pat him on the head, oh, Lala, why you stayed away from so long? And then he would sit with the villagers and hear all their things. Our Raghunath Das Goswami writes, I don't want to go to Vaikuntha, the abode of the Lord. I don't even want the association of devotees who are always chanting the glories of the Lord. Just let these Brijbasis pour their nonsense talk inside my ear, but I will not take one step out of this Braj. So he would listen to all their things, that so-and-so got married, so-and-so built a new house, so-and-so had a baby boy, so-and-so bought a new land, so-and-so planted this in his field, so-and-so died. He would hear all the things. But in the evening, then there would be Harikatha and Kirtan. Harikatha and Kirtan. In the daytime, he would listen to them. He would give them instruction that, you know, for this disease, this is, you take this herb and you mix it with this like that, and it'll be, next season you should plant this in your fields. He was a chief minister. He knew everything. So he would give them also material benefit, and evening give them spiritual benefit. And then he would leave. Then everyone say, all the people would cry, oh, Baba Gosai, where are you going? Oh, Baba, Baba, please. The little children say, Baba, Baba, please stay. Those who were his equals say, oh, brother, where are you going? The elders would say, oh, son, please stay. Don't go. Oh, beta, kahan ja rahe ho? And they would follow him outside with great difficulty. He would get them to stay, and he'd go to the next village. We read, dira, dira. He was very dear to those who were dear and those adir, even the ruffians. He was dear to everyone. Eventually he stayed in, as we were saying, in Manasi Ganga, and he used to do prikama. But not the prikama that we do. He did a big prikama. Just like now, Purushottam Mass, we were discussing to do some special prikamas. So we'll go to a place called Chandra Sarovar that's about 2 or 3 kilometers from the prikama path, and near there, another village, that's where Krishna took his forearm for Beta. So we're planning on going to all these places. That prikama, Sanatana Goswami, huge prikama, not a little one that we're doing now. Now, if you see, at Apsara Kun, they made a shortcut even. They don't go to see Lota Baba. They turn the shortcut like that. Illegal shortcut. But Lota Baba, he's the one who keeps track. If you made prikama or not, you know, just like when you go to work, you sign in, you know, they mark your card, signed in, he worked. So if you don't see Lota Baba, your prikama doesn't count. He's taking hajri, huh? So, anyway, he was doing this big prikama. Even in his old age. And eventually, this was breaking Lord's heart, that he was... Now we're in the old age, all the creaks and pains and aches and are coming. We can't sit, we have to sit like this, we can't sit on the floor anymore, pain's too much. So all those pains are coming to Sanatana also. Because he was 30 when he came to Braj, he stayed here for more than 40 years. So all the aches and pains were coming. And Lord's heart was breaking seeing him taking this trouble. So he came and he said, Baba, Baba, you stop this. He said, no, this is my vrat. I must go on prikamari. No, you stop this, Baba. No, I have to go. He said, look, Baba, you're old now. You stop this. He said, no, I have to go. And then if you have to go, he put him on his shoulder and began to run. He said, no, this is not my vrat. This is not my vrat. Put me down. Young boy, what are you doing? You little whippersnapper, what are you doing? He says, look. Then he took a shila from the hill. He put his footprint. He put his flute, his cowherd stick print. He took his calf, had her put her print. And he revealed himself as none other than Giriraj. And he gave me this Giriraj Shila. He said, you go around this, this is as good as prikama. Now that Shila is there in Radha Damodar temple. So anyway, we're running out of time. Sanatana Goswami, every Guru Purnima, everybody comes to worship their Guru. You see big crowds today. It's going to be unbelievable. And all the Vaishnavas of Braj used to come to Sanatana Goswami, and he would do prikama of Manasi Ganga. Because even in Manasi Ganga, there's so many places, even I don't know. But Sanatana Goswami, we're following his footsteps, he was taking them all on prikama of Manasi Ganga. So on this Guru Purnima day, 400 and so many years ago, they all came. Haribol, Haribol, Radisham, Radisham. And there was no answer. And they looked inside his bhajan kutir, and Sanata Goswami had entered the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And all the Vaishnavas began to cry, hi, hi, hi. And so they took the body, they brought him here to Vrindavan, circumambulated Vrindavan, and then placed him at the lotus feet of Madan Mohan, his deity, and made this beautiful samadhi that's there. And it was very simple. It was all... sometimes I would see it was painted yellow, sometimes it was green, sometimes it was red. And I was thinking, we should fix this up somehow or other. Some Russian devotee came to me, I wanted to do something for Sanata Goswami Samadhi. I said, great. So we clad it all with marble, and then the Darshan Mandap, we started chipping away the plaster, and we found that all those columns, they were just bricks, and there wasn't even cement, it was mud. Just the paint was, you know, we could see that the columns already there cracking, the whole thing's going to collapse. So we had to redo that whole Darshan Mandap and then put grills there to keep you from all the monkeys. And we made it much bigger so more people can stay there. I don't recommend you go there today, but maybe tomorrow or next day you can go. Because several years ago, the Russian devotees, they've established this beautiful, so enchanting deity of Sanatana Goswami there. When you see his beautiful lotus petal eyes just emanating Krishna prema. So beautiful deity they've established there at that place. And beautiful summer garden is there. This Grant Samaj. Grant means, we know, books. There's a book samadhi there. So many nice places. Now all fixed up very nicely. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami Padaki. And ordinarily when somebody dies, then everybody shaves their head. So, we call that Mundan. But somehow in Brij Bhasa it's called Muriya. So this is Muriya Purnima. If you go to Govardhan, you won't believe how many people are doing Dandoti Prakrama and how many people are doing regular Prakrama. And somehow or other, thousands of people are going. People are there in the middle. Somehow they manage not to step on them. And it's just, you'll never see such a sight in your life. This is Muriya Purnima. They've forgotten, of course, that it's in honor of Sanatana Goswami. But it's called Muriya Purnima, which means Mundan, shaving your head because someone has died. So this Muriya Purnima is going on, and we have our camp there at that. There's this, as you're coming, finishing your prikrama, coming back into Radhakund, on the right side you see this big stone temple, Puri style, made without any bricks, solid stone. This Babaji, he made it from solid stone to last for 1,000 years. So that place, we've made our camp there, And we're distributing prasad and books, and you can go and try and get there and help out. So anyway, there's so many things we could have said about Sanatana Goswami, but of course we know one of his most important books, we already told, Bhakti Hari Bhakti Vilas, with 20 vilasas explaining everything about the behavior of Vaishnava. And this most important is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charitamrita says, if you want to know, understand Krishna consciousness, you must read this book. And now my dear departed godbrother, Gopi Puranadana, he has translated it along with Sanatana Goswami's Tika. And this is the first book that BBT has published that wasn't authored by Srila Prabhupada. So this is a very important book. And his Vaishnava Tosani Tika, the commentary that's pleasing to the Vaishnavas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Digdarshaniti, has also written a tika of commentary on Hari Bhakti Vilas, Digdarshaniti tika, and so many wonderful books. So anybody has any questions? I have so many things we could say, but we're run out of time. We have no questions, and we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of Srila Sanatana Goswami and His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and beg for their mercy to distribute this literature far and wide. Become para dukha dukhi. Srila Sanatana Goswami Pada ki. Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki. Param Bhujya Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj ki. Om Premanande.